Hello, welcome to Falcon Cast. I'm Matt Moore, next to Jay Adams, and our special guest, DJ Shockley, the legend, that is. Thanks for joining us. We are fresh back from 2 weeks back from the Combine, and guess what? As you said last week, the NFL is a 12-month production, and next on the agenda is free agency. So we're going to get going on discussing that, and leading up into free agency, you got to release some guys to
before we do that, can I say something?
Yes.
Can the people see Jay Adams? He is jacked right now. show him the guns right now.
I can't.
I feel like you're coming through that shirt right
now. I can't do
people,
that.
It's like an extra large, and he is he's freaking coming through it right now.
I'm working hard, jacked. Man. I'm working hard.
You know what?
Hard.
We're not talking jacked. Page anymore. We're gonna get Jay's weightlifting.
What is your workout regimen? Yeah, we got to assist up.
Early
eats
mornings.
Eats weights. That's what he does.
Early mornings.
I love it. We're going to get some creatine in this cup. Start talking weightlifting, man.
Nice.
So, great transition there. And let's discuss that. What, you know, Shock, you know better than anyone. It's part of the business.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. Hard.
Terrible.
It's really tough, you know, for all of us because we get to know these guys. And as we've said, it's a great locker room here, and it always has been. And you hate seeing that. It's just, but it is part of the business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it's one of the parts of the business that you really hate, especially when you're around guys like you guys are around guys so much, and you get to know the person, and everybody sees the player, everybody understands what they do on the field, and you can see that. But you get to know the person, and you get to be around the organization. Like some of these guys, you know, Harry and Justin, they've been around this organization for 7-8 years. So you get to know their families. You get to know how they are in the community. Mm-hmm. And for the player, it's just as meaningful as well. You enjoy good people. You get to meet you guys' family. I get to learn about everybody in your family, learn about everything that goes along with you guys do. And you get a newfound respect for it. And then all of a sudden it's taken away from you. And now you're looking for a new place, looking for a new team, whatever it may be. It's a tough, tough situation for any player or any person or organization that you're really growing accustomed to liking.
You know, it's weird in the NFL because, you know, you don't identify with a player, I think, as much as maybe in some other sports where, you know, a guy doesn't spend his entire career inside of a helmet. And I think that's what, you know, we try to do around here is to show the person behind the helmet a lot of times and that this person is more than just a jersey number. And I think a lot of people have gravitated towards that and kind of understand, you know, that, yeah, it's a business, but there are real human repercussions behind it. And, you know, it's easily the toughest part of what we do. You know, I'll get a call maybe a couple hours before we actually announce something, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I got to do this. I can't believe I've got to say that this guy's gone or that guy's gone. And the best you can do is just wish that guy well and hope to keep in touch. But, you know, I think you kind of expect this with a new regime coming in. You know, obviously very high expectations now, lots on the line. And Dan Quinn's going to make this his team. And I think to do that, he had to make some very, very tough decisions.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, there are some guys that you've gotten to get to know that have gotten extended. You got Matt Bryant, Cliff Matthews, Pat DeMarco, Nate Stupar. You brought a couple other guys in that were on the market that you could bring in early. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the part that you do like.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, a week from now, it's going to be very different because then we're going to be seeing a lot of new faces mm-hmm. come in. I think you know, it's fair to say that the Falcons could be pretty active in free agency. Seems like there's a lot of money there to spend, and you're trying to get some new guys that fit. Yeah, it's just as exciting to experience the signing of new guys and, you know, the re-signing of some of the guys that you've kind of grown attached to, but it's tough to watch the other guys go.
I think when you think about the guys that you've re-signed, you think about the core group of guys who you really need. And sometimes it's called the quote-unquote role players on your team, the special team guys, the guys you see running down, making tackles, making plays. And then you got Matt Bryant, who's Mr. Consistent. And, you know, where would you be without him even in the past couple of years? So having a guy like him come back, you talk about Patrick DeMarco, a guy who's been a stalemate for around here for a couple of years. But also you think about free agency, it's also – he's going to want to bring in guys that can come in right now and make an impact. You know, you don't want to bring in guys who you got to mold and make two, three years. Like you just mentioned, it's going to be a time where it's his team. You got to start winning. A lot of things that go on there. Everybody's expecting big things. He's used to winning. And I don't think any coach who's used to winning is coming here to take a step back. And they're going to bring guys in who are used to winning, bring guys in who are used to fitting in this type of scheme, whether it's offense or defense, special teams. They want guys who can come in right now, and the learning curve is a lot smaller than a lot of the guys who maybe not know their system.
And I think that that's the – there's a caveat to that, which is it's going to be fit over flash. I mean, we wrote about this on the website this week where, you know, there are certainly some big names out there in free agency and a lot of attractive names, especially at some positions that you need. But just because that player is a big name player doesn't necessarily mean he fits in what Dan Quinn's trying to do.
Right.
Think also about what Dan Quinn was able to accomplish in Seattle with what people consider to be mid-tier talent. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you got kind of have to expect him to try and do the same thing here. Mm-hmm. You know, Cliff Avril, he turned into a great player. Michael Bennett, he turned into a great player. So there are some guys out there that, you know, fit that mid-tier kind of level in free agency that you could see brought in and they could turn into superstars here. So, you know, I encourage people that when that process starts, don't be discouraged if it's not an Ndamukong Suh or a Byron Maxwell or, you know, whoever. It could be a mid-tier guy who Dan Quinn thinks he can turn into a superstar.
And take us behind the scenes a little bit. I mean, right now, leading up to free agency, it's a lot of meetings, isn't it? It's let's examine every guy who could possibly be on the market. How would he fit here? You know, what could you work with him? Could he play special teams? Mm-hmm. A lot of that's going on with the coaching staff and the personnel group, is it not?
A lot of it is also about you talking about the depth of certain positions. And you want guys who can come in who could be not only great teammates, be great locker room guys and great teachers as well. That's why I see a lot of teams bring in maybe older guys who you feel like, okay, maybe they're quality backups, but they can also help the guy in front of them. And the Falcons have a lot of guys here already who are starters who maybe just need somebody behind them who have seen a little bit more. You talk about some of the other guys on defense who maybe just maybe need the extra kick a little bit sometimes to have another guy behind them that can help them. And I think that's part of the process too, is not just maybe bringing in somebody who you know can start, but somebody who can help this team in the locker room, who can bring leadership. Maybe he's not starting, but maybe he's a guy who understands what it takes to win, who's won a Super Bowl or who's played in the playoffs and who understands the bigger picture of not just, hey, we want to win games, but I'm going to show you how to work in practice. I'm going to show you how to watch film, how to certain things you look
almost
at.
Almost like a Lawyer Malloy.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you were here.
Yeah. I remember Lawyer coming in. He was a rah-rah guy. He was a starter and all that kind of stuff. But he affected the entire locker room. I remember one game, I can't remember, maybe Shab had gone to the game or something, and Mike got hurt, Shab went the game, and I was the third. And Shab had just won the game. When he won the game, I'm standing over the sideline, he comes up and he's yelling at me like, you better be ready, just in case. And, you know, just things like that. Guys don't look at the next guy up. And that's kind of the inference that people have, is you got to be ready and prepared. And Lawyer was the type of guy who saw the bigger picture, was, okay, this guy goes down, you're the guy who's going to carry our team. So I got to make sure mentally you're ready. And I think there's a lot of guys in free agency who can help this team in that particular fashion as well as playing.
I remember when Fred McCreary came.
Freddie Mac.
His first day, he brought a Super Bowl ring. Took it around to every single person and said, hey, let me help you get one of these.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. That's a great point, Shaq, because it's not just about, you know, on the field. It's in the position group meetings. How's this guy going to fit? How's he going to make us better?
Mm-hmm. And this is a question I wanted to discuss with you is, you know, from the perspective of being a former player and being around a locker room that's constantly changing. I mean, it's different than college. You don't have, I mean, you got guys leaving all the time, but I mean, this is a business aspect to it. How does it affect you guys in the locker room who are left behind when guys who are as mainstays as Harry Douglas and Justin Blaylock, you know, they're gone?
Yeah.
How does that affect you guys mentally?
I think initially it hurts. I mean, initially we're all human. Like you said, you want to get to know the guys behind the helmet. You want to, these guys are people just like everybody else. They have emotions, they have feelings, and you have an attachment to certain guys. I remember after Harry got released, talked to him on the radio, and he talked about how all those guys are brothers. They're going to be friends forever. And that's just part of it. But at the end of the day, they're all grown men, and they all understand, like you said, the business of it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen. Nobody, if you're fortunate enough to stay at one organization for your entire career, that's just, I mean, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the best in the game in Peyton Manning, and they said no more. The coach said, hey, we don't want you no more. We want somebody else. So it's bound to happen to everybody, and everybody understands that, and everybody knows your time is very limited. So I think the business part of it, everybody understands. It's an emotional part that you have to get over. Eventually you will, but at the end of the day, you know sooner or later it's going to happen.
And let me also get on a little bit of a different subject here while we've got you on. And you know, the thing that one of the things that I asked Dan Quinn about at the Combine was just the lack of stability for Matt Ryan at mm-hmm. the quarterback coach position. I think this is going to be his fourth in Matt LaFleur coming in. Does that have any bearing, that room and kind of the leader in that room, on what you guys do on a daily basis, or is that just kind of something that gets overblown?
No, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you got the same guy in your ear, you got the same verbiage, the same terminology, the same, you know how this guy thinks, you know how he wants you to perform in practice. When you're watching film, there's certain things that he's looking for that you're looking for. When you have that familiarity with a guy, it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But then now it's like a new relationship with anything. And it's just like in life, you meet new people, you gotta find them out, you gotta figure out how they think, what they expect of you. And when you have different guys coming in and year out, it's almost like each and every year I gotta find a way to find out who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eventually it happens. They're professionals, they find a way to make it work. But at first it's a growing pain, because you gotta get used to a different voice in your ear. Sometimes you're used to hearing the same thing and you like what you saw. I remember my first couple of years, we had Bill Musgrave here for, mm-hmm. he went through, you know, two or three coaches, but he was the mainstay at the quarterback position because they wanted that familiarity and we all trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew what type of guy he was and what he expected of us. So now it's a whole different expectation. You don't know what this guy's expecting, what's he bringing, is he going to try to change anything that you're used to doing? That kind of stuff, it plays with you at first, and you have to really, really just have to hone in on what he wants from you. So it's a different set of things to get over early.
You know, one thing on this, when we talk free agency, it really does set up the draft, doesn't it? Yeah, I see on, you know, we were talking, you know, will the Falcons draft a running back? A lot of that depends on what happens in free agency. I mean, this really sets up, I think a lot of magnets get moved on the draft board.
Sure.
Based on what you do in free agency.
I mean, look, I spend most of my day looking through mock drafts during this time of the year, and it's funny because at this point in the year, you can throw them all out because it doesn't matter until teams go through free agency. I mean, things can change so quickly. If you're the Falcons and you're able to get that pass rusher that you've been looking for in free agency or via trade or whatever you do, suddenly it puts other positions into play at number 8. Maybe you still go pass rusher. Maybe you take a chance on one of the wide receivers that now seems to be an opening. So it's one of those things where you can't get too sold on one position group at this time because mm-hmm. things change so quickly.
Things change so much. And a good example that I was just thinking about was, okay, we're thinking about just particular running back position or any position in particular, you also got to look at what everybody else is doing. I know you got to focus centrally on what you're doing, but you got to think about, okay, Philadelphia just traded LeSean McCoy,
yeah.
and now they want a running back. So right. now it may affect what type of guy you go after because they may be looking at the same type of guy. So I know you essentially focus on your particular organization, but sometimes you got to look at it and see what else is somebody's doing, especially in free agency. It's going to be a lot of change, a lot of people looking for different things, and you never know until that's over. So like you said, the free agency definitely leads into the draft because so many teams get what they want in free agency and sometimes they don't. So you got to make sure you know what they're doing as well.
And the one real wild card here is the players that are currently on the roster. And, you know, you've seen them under a different regime.
Yeah.
And the guys that are still left are guys that Dan Quinn feels like he can use in a way.
Right.
So there are guys where, you know, maybe they were second stringers, third stringers that Dan Quinn may be able to put into a position to be a much better player.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know that until we get on the field in September and October.
Right.
But in the interim, it's going to feel like, okay, well, maybe they haven't addressed this or that or the other, but maybe they feel like there's somebody already on the roster who can fill a need that they have.
And in a we were just talking about this before we came on. Devontae Freeman said, hey, I feel like a beast. I feel like I got a new life. I feel like I'm going to be the man this year. Mm-hmm. And you never know what can happen in free agency or never can happen before that time that makes a guy feel confident enough to say, I can step my game up now. And that may be what that coach is looking for, an extra push to say, all right, maybe he's the guy we actually really need and we don't actually have to go after this position. So you never know what to happen until you get on the field. And,
sure.
You know, a lot of the stuff is talk right now. It's, you know, what you've seen in the past on film and all that. But you never know how a guy reacts to being moved up or mm-hmm. moved back or whatever motivation is that got him to this position.
And, Chuck, before we get to break with Bosak, you having a little connection with Georgia. What are your thoughts on Gurley not letting teams, you know, look at his knee during the combine? What's your thoughts on that?
The dude's an animal. I'm going to tell you now, he's with technology these days, as we all know, guys have been able to come back so early now and everything. But I think the big thing about Gurley is he's in a position where he can do this. If you're a later round guy, you want to, you know, let scouts, let everybody know, hey, I can do everything. I'm not going to hide anything. But the thing about Gurley is he's shown he can play. He has the film. You've seen everything he can do. I know they're going to look at him and see how he's doing. But his knee is going to be perfectly fine. And right now, this is just him flexing his muscle, basically saying, hey, I can do this because I know you guys still want me. And that's just part of the process. And some guys can do it and some guys can't. I mean, when I came out in seventh-round pick, I couldn't tell you. You can't look at my shoulder. But, you know, he's a first-round guy. So I think he can do it. I don't really have a problem with it. I know teams want to see it. It may rub some people the wrong way, but at the same time, he can because people still going to want it.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things that I wanted to discuss with you, you being on here, is just the Georgia connection. I mean, fans on Twitter, on social media, I mean, they're hitting all of our accounts with draft Todd Gurley, draft Todd Gurley. So I know that this is a topic that is absolutely on the top of people's minds, and we have a lot of UGA
they just don't want to change their colors, man.
Yeah,
they
man.
They want to keep rocking red and black, man.
I'll admit, Todd Gurley would look great in red and black, and I'm not a UGA guy. Do you think, though, that him having some question marks at the knee could drop him back into the second round where the Falcons would maybe have a chance to select him with that second round?
Absolutely.
Pick?
Absolutely. I think that was one of the biggest discussions coming into the draft is because he hurt that knee. He would fall later into the first round and possibly fall out of the first round. And I think even if he didn't hurt his knee, it'd be a toss-up between him and Melvin Gordon just because of the way Melvin Gordon finished the season off. So, but now with the knee, it looks like Melvin Gordon's the clear-cut number one running back. And so you obviously got to look at that dynamic and say, hey, it does hurt him a little bit because you never know how a guy who needs to cut, who has to run off that knee, who gets hit on it all the time, how that affects him on the next level.
And we were talking about free agency, and I think this is one of the things that directly affects Todd Gurley is, you know, you've got DeMarco Murray, who you don't know where he's going to end up. Mm. There are going to be some teams that are going to go after this guy. Mm-hmm. And you may think right now on your mock drafts, oh, well, you know, Indianapolis could target him. Seattle could target him with number 32 to replace Marshawn Lynch. If he doesn't come back, there are still a lot of factors in play here that could lead to Gurley either falling or moving back up.
You're right. And you look at those two in particular, two guys who led the NFL last year, and obviously the Bills were in a funk to where they were looking for a running back, and they got LeSean McCoy, but who says, you know, last couple of years he's toted the ball more than anybody in the National Football League, so they're looking for a successor coming down the line as well, so that could be another team looking for it. So, but depending on what Dallas does, depending on what, like you said, Seattle does, those are two teams that could definitely take a Todd Gurley later in that first round, depending on if those guys come back or find a way to get signed.
All right. You know you've been waiting for this moment. It's time for Break with Bosak. What you got for us, Brian?
The braid.
All right. So you guys talk about trades, you know?
Yeah.
Big trade happened this past week with DeSean McCoy going to the Bills. Caught a lot of people by surprise. So I'm curious, what's the craziest sports trades that you can recall? It doesn't have to be like anything big in the NFL, but it could be basketball. Or...
He's an Atlanta native. This one hurts. It's when we traded Dominique Wilkins. Mm. It was the worst day ever.
Yeah.
And the Hawks haven't been good until now.
You bring this up because it's Neek Week, right, huh? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
It is Neek Week. Yeah.
For Danny Manning, Hawks had the best record in the NBA. We'll trade Dominique Wilkins for Danny Manning.
Danny Manning.
Did not work out very well. And, man, that one hurts still. Still, that one hurts.
One of the ones that sticks out to me was the Herschel Walker trade, because mm-hmm. There was so much given up. I would also go back and say the trade for Ricky Williams to move up to number one. I mean, my God. Mike Ditka went and played golf the rest of the draft because he gave away all his picks.
Both sec. Jay just read my iPad over here.
Oh, is that? No.
He looked at my iPad and saw why I talked about Herschel Walker. Come on, he's still eating. I think he thinks he can Debo me because he's jacked up over here, man. Yes, I had Herschel on mine, too. I was looking at – I went back and looked up some stuff, and he got five – drafted for five players, the first-round selection, and six other draft choices. Jeez. I mean, they gave up a lot for him, and then they were able to get two Hall of Famers out of it, and Emmitt Smith and
Troy Aikman.
And Rod Woodson. And
Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson, so yeah. – I mean, that was a pretty big trade for Dallas.
I mean, we were talking about UFC before we came on here, and you talk about UFC. I mean, that's what Herschel's doing these days. I just saw a photo of him.
Animal.
And he could still play.
Animal.
I say that about Jesse Tuggle all the time when I see Jesse. But, I mean,
I do some stuff with the hammer all the time, and I say, Jesse, what are you doing? Why do you look like that? What are you taking? He goes, I only lift one time a week. I said, what? Are you kidding me? One time a week and this dude is jacked. Oh, I mean, he got veins popping out of everywhere. I'm like, Jesse, what are you doing? But Herschel's that same way. Some guys are just made like that. They just genetically, they're going to always be just built rock jack guys.
When I was at Georgia, we like camped out for college game day. When I was at Alabama, we like took the road trip. We just camped out, like waited. And it was like 6 in the morning. We got our spot. I look over, I'm like, dude, who's that dude doing one-arm push-ups in the field?
No way.
It was Herschel. Just getting a workout in from his hotel before he was going on game day
that
day.
I mean, he came when I played my last year, he came and spoke to us in 2005, and I asked him, I said, dude, we have a uniform in the can you please put one on? I was like, this dude, he still looked like he can play. I don't know what he's like, 50, 60? I mean,
52. 52?
52,
53,
he
somewhere in there.
He's jacked.
He is.
That's great. What else do you got for us, Bosang?
All right. These coaches and front office staffs are going to have to make a lot of gambles this offseason. So I was wondering the biggest...
I'm a gambling man.
The biggest or worst bet that you've ever made.
Worst bet?
Yeah.
Well, let's preface this why, this is just for fun. We don't condone betting.
Gambling.
Absolutely not.
We would never do such a thing.
But hypothetically.
If we were going to bet.
So, I got too many.
You have
too many. I rarely lose bets. I'm like the most interesting man.
I always lose when I go play golf. I don't get much time to play until the 1 week in the summer vacation. And my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, they play all the time, and so they're like, "Oh no, come on, just play the game with us." And I'm, okay, and then the next day I know, like. In the clubhouse, swiping my card for the whole lunch every time.
Hole.
It seems, always. That would be a good one.
I got nothing. I don't bet. And probably, well, didn't I make a stupid bet with Corey Peters? A stupid hypothetical bet last year on like Syracuse something. I can't remember. It was something Syracuse related. Because
it was like the lunch bet. I always do the good lunch. The lunch bets for I always say the Hawks. People always think the Hawks are going to be good. I say the Hawks will finish above the Knicks or the Bulls.
The Bulls are going to finish ahead of the Wizards.
I got two. I'm going to give a worst and a best bet I made. Now, I'll start with the worst first. The worst was it had to do nothing with sports. I was, you're about to jump off and jump into the water. What are those things called? The trampoline? What do they call it?
The blob?
Not the blob, but what?
Diving board.
Diving board. There we go. I mean, come on. Simple. I'm sorry. Diving board. I'm about to jump off.
The first thing.
I had a mind blank. I'm sorry. Diving board. I betted one of my friends. This was in college. And it might have been right after the Olympics or something. So I'm watching guys jump off diving boards and they hit flips. I'm like, I can do that. I bet you I can hit a
now,
flip.
Is this
coming
at Ramsey
off the diving
Center?
Board. Yes.
Oh.
I'm like, I bet I can hit a flip.
It's like
a
Olympic flat.
So I'm backwards. Huge. I'm rocking. And I go to jump off and I never made it all the way over. And belly face straight into the water. So that was the worst bet I made. And then the best was my rookie year. My rookie year, me and Keith Brooking had a bet. Georgia Tech. And the loser had to wear paraphernalia during media times.
I remember this.
So Brooking, we win, of course. I mean, come on. We beat Tech. and I bring in Brooklyn. He has a shirt. It's, you know, it's around right around Thanksgiving, Christmas time. So I bring him a big old Georgia hat, the Santa Claus hat with a big G on it. Big I remember shirt, this. And this was end of the year, so he had at least 15, 20 cameras right in his neck. He had all this Georgia stuff on. Entire interview, he was just talking.
He was really mad. I was in that interview. Seriously, I was mad. At that interview. He was so mad.
That was the best bit I ever had.
He was like, shocking, really, like, he brought the whole closet of Georgia stuff.
Jay, I'm a rookie, yeah, and I'm giving it to Keith a better. I'm giving it to the better. And I
remember Keith was a bit of a tape eater when he would do interviews, so he would go on and on and on. I bet it was the shortest interview he's ever done.
Absolutely.
He was so mad. I was just standing there laughing. It's so hard.
I have a question, though, because doesn't Coach Rick do that one practice there, where he'll announce a practice and then all of a sudden you guys go to
the
Ramon
Center. And he always does the gainer,
He goes from the high.
Yes.
I'm afraid of heights. I would not.
There's no way.
So it would be for guys. He would do it. It'd be guys who messed up and they have to get out of their morning stuff and they had to jump off the high board. They had to continue to do it. Dude, I would have been still doing my morning workouts because I am terrified. But he jumps off of it. He flips, and lands in the water every time. I mean, I don't know how he does it, but does it.
Well, this is the one thing I'm hoping for this offseason is that we get a Georgia Tech rivalry in the locker room because we haven't had one in a while.
It's fun.
It is fun.
And, it is fun to see. Yeah, all of our rivalries are like Pac-12, Oregon Absolutely. State, that kind of thing. So hoping to get some SEC rivalries over here and some regional rivalries.
Let's finish up, Bo. So you got a trivia for us or something? What do you got for us?
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah, I'm curious if you guys could guess this tweet by one of the current Falcons players.
This is, I guess, it'd be the kind of guy who looks the lion right in the eyes, Mamba mentality.
Okay, so my gut says Robert Alford, but it doesn't say hashtag
TAT,
which is Team Alford Team. So I don't know.
That's what that means. I never knew what that
maybe
means.
Maybe Trufant?
I thought it was like he's going to get that as a tattoo. Or something.
No, I don't
know. Maybe Trufant?
Trufant's your guess.
Mamba mentality.
Mamba
mentality. It's got to be a Kobe reference, right?
Somebody who loves Kobe. Somebody who loves Kobe. Maybe the West Coast. I don't know, man.
I'm stumped on this one.
A lion.
There you go.
Right in the eye. Somebody who.
I'm saying true fun.
Exudes confidence.
Want me to give you a hint?
No.
All right.
Just tell us.
No hints. What's
offense,
the answer?
Offense or defense?
Offense.
Oh.
Roddy White.
Nope.
This is curveball. That's spelled too correctly. No
this is a curveball for you guys. You would have never guessed.
Oh, Jerome Smith. My boy. The hay is never in the barn. Tweeted me this week. He just found out that I went to Syracuse, so he tweeted me and followed me this week.
You gave us Jerome Smith.
That's right.
Never guessed that.
Exactly.
Listen, man.
That's what I was saying next, Bosek. You didn't give me time. I was coming with Jerome Smith.
Listen, man, you talk about running backs. This kid could be one of those guys that can contribute. I completely. That's not just
absolutely, but I'm not going to guess him as our trivia.
You could know him
before he does it.
You could know him down the line.
So you say he's your star?
He's
your star for 2015?
Could be. He could be.
You got to be confident about that.
Yes.
Did you see Lion? Jerome Smith. Look the lion in the eyes.
This guy, he says the hay is never in the barn, and I agree. So that's I'll go on record and say that's my rising star of 2015. We were going to talk about that today.
All the time. The hay's in the barn, guys. So he says it's never,
right. It's never in the
Before
barn.
Before we go, who's never your rising barn. Star of 2015?
Mine is True.
Oh, funk. Yeah.
I like True Funk. Raheem Morris, I'm all about it. I'm all about him coming in. True Funk's going to have a, I think, 5-6 interception type of year. He has to step up now. He's had that confidence mentality last couple of years. I think he's...
Hey, and let me tell you, he got snubbed by NFL.com this week, I think. They gave their all under 25 team. He wasn't on it.
Motivation, baby.
Mm.
Not cool.
Motivation.
Not cool at all.
I take Jake the Snake, baby. He's going to be our
I like it.
Staple at left tackle.
I like
be healthy. Be good.
True I'm fun. Going Jerome Smith.
All right. Shock, always a pleasure. You're the best. We love having you on. Jay... Go lift some more weights and eat some creatine. Thank you, Brian Bosak and Guy on the Couch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Falcon.